Welcome to the BAM podcast. That's right, BAM, business and money instead of bitching and moaning. This is the 2.0 version of the top three podcast, True Underdog. This will give you an inside look at building a business, overcoming business and personal issues, and most of all, not bitching and buying into this bitch-ass cancel culture lifestyle. I'm tired of it. I'm sure you're tired of it. Take it from me, who I've built three companies and have done over $1 billion in sales in my time. You're going to hear from cool-ass guests as well on my show. You have zero time to bitch, time to make your move. Let's fucking go. Bam. Jason Waller here with the BAM podcast. That's business and money. Woo! I got my brother from another mother here, Clinton Sparks. I love this dude because he's real. He's genuine. He was giving me dimes and nuggets and advice before we got on here. So thank you, man, for being caring and loving and being straight up. We were talking about family. Your son's first birthday's coming up, right?
Yeah. So I have one son that's 18. Then I have a daughter that's 3, and then I have another son that's going to be, 1 coming up. So, and being as you are as well, being a hip hop head, it is a Biggie themed, birthday party.
See that right there?
Yeah.
There it is.
Big one. It's the notorious big one, 1 year old.
Oh, I love it. Dude, that when I saw that invitation, I sent it to my wife and I said, is this not dope? She said, yeah. And I was like, we got to go. Like, this is going to be
we all. I even told my wife, she was like, what should we do for catering? I said, we have to get cheese, eggs, and Welch's grape.
Oh, my God. Are you really going
to
do that?
Nobody wants to eat eggs.
Everybody loves eggs and cheese. Come on.
Yeah. Who doesn't want eggs?
Hey, so, you know, last time we talked, it was on the True Underdog podcast. And you were still doing your show on Twitch, right? Mm-hmm. And you were just getting started with a new venture with Xset, right? Mm-hmm. And things have evolved tremendously. I've seen a lot of stuff on social media. We've talked. I've kept up with things of what's going on and how Xset's blowing up. Let's talk first about your show, leaving Twitch. What's going on now with Clinton Sparks in the show?
I left Twitch because it wasn't where the audience was that I needed to get to, one, and it wasn't financially making sense for me to run that show. So I had big goals with it. I had big dreams, but I will give one piece of advice. It's okay to leave one dream to chase another dream, which you have done many times in your life. A lot of people sometimes think that this is my goal. This is my dream. If I just keep believing in it, inevitably it'll become true. And I support that theory as well. If you have the right tools, knowledge, and understanding of what it takes to get to where you're trying to get to, it also is important to understand when something's not working the way it needs to work and how to pivot and or when to change course of what would be best suited for you to now chase if that's not working out the way it needs to work. So they sound like contradicting pieces of advice, but it comes with you having the intellectual understanding of the difference. And those that don't understand the difference, you can read my book, your book. There's a lot of books out there that from people that have done these things that can teach you. I also have a new book coming out. It's called The 10 Traits That Made Me Millions in the Music Industry, a guide on how they can help you too. But every book that I write isn't just about the specific music industry. It's really about how to win big or how to navigate in any industry. I just use music as the backdrop because everything's the same. Right? Every industry is the same. There's a couple of different jargons, different titles, but business, how you operate in business, how you communicate, treat people, network, follow up, across the board, it's the same. I've obviously had tremendous success selling, you know, millions of records in the music industry. For those people watching that don't know, I'm a multi-platinum producer, songwriter, DJ.
Over 75 million. Let's not be modest. Yeah. Over 75 million.
Right. So I've been a manager, a publisher, a producer, a songwriter, an artist. I've had major record deals. I've done everything you can possibly do in the music industry. So I know it inside and out. And I've also built a bunch of other multi-million dollar businesses. Well, one's $1 billion, right? Doing all of that, you start to learn all of the pros, the cons, how to deal with employees, partners, HR, investors, customers. And if you care enough, and pay attention to these learnings, you become bigger and better, and you can apply all that you've learned in any industry that you want to venture into. So even though it says music business or music industry on my two books that are out, they can be applied to even your own personal relationships. So yeah, the Twitch show, I ended up leaving that because I've launched my new podcast, that the Win Big with Clinton Sparks, and I've got amazing guests on there from Damon John to Offset to Shaquille O'Neal to T.I. to Rob Dyrdek, and that's launching pretty soon. So I'm excited to aim towards that. Also have some TV shows coming out as well. One of them's with me and T.I. So there's just a lot of content that we're focusing on. My book.
What's that show? Course. What's that show going to be called with you and T.I.?
I can't say yet.
Okay,
but
okay.
Put it this way: it's very Larry David-ish, and It's really me and T.I. And me and T.I. have been real friends for 20 years, and we have an amazing dynamic of our friendship. You know, the sarcasm, the wise ass remarks. You know, me being kind of like the one with the crazy zany ideas, and him being like, man, that ain't going to work. And they're like, why would it not work, dude? Trust me. And then I get him into some zany situation that like doesn't make sense. So it's like, it's super entertaining and funny. And I you're the first person I'm telling, by the way, publicly that we're doing this. So when people watch this and look back 3 years, 5 years from now, and that's an Emmy award-winning show, like, I remember when he talked about that with Jason. But yeah, we're literally on the embryo stages of writing the script right now, formulating it. And yeah, I'm really excited about it. You know, because, you know, he's a black guy from Atlanta, came up in the trap making hip hop. I'm a white guy from Boston, came up in hip hop. Two totally different like cultures, backgrounds, you know, regions. But yet we've been cool and came up and successful in the same industry. We're both fathers. We both kind of like are doing other things now, past me being a DJ and producer, him being a rapper. And it's just the dynamics of all that and like the situations and the things that I'll bring to his attention or try to get him involved with that he gets uncomfortable with. And it just makes it like really good television. So I was like, let's just turn this into a real show. It's real life anyways. We could just write it a little bit more. So there's like some more antics and you know, dialogue to it, but it's based off all of our real life anyway. So.
No, I bet that's going to look, anything you touch is entertaining. I mean, I remember being on your show with all the bells and the whistles and the lights. And I'm like, and I've been on a lot of shows. Yours was the most entertaining. I mean, it was just like exciting. So I know anything you touch like that's going to be fun.
Well, you're talking to a guy that when my debut, my grand opening of my party and club in Las Vegas, I was lowered by a helicopter through the roof onto my turntable. So like, this is the kind of guy you're talking to right now. So the biggest problem is people around me don't understand how to go as big as I do, or they don't see it being realistic or something that can happen. And the reason I've been successful is because I don't just fight people against what they don't believe can happen. I show them how it can happen. And in fact, in my new book, 10 Traits of how I Made Millions in the Music Industry, there's a whole story about how I built a residency in Las Vegas against my booking agency. And we had a fight about it. And I, you know, and what the outcome of that, you'll have to read the book, but like how it went on to be super successful, despite them saying it could never happen. And much like yourself and, you know, people that listen, I am living proof that I've been told over and over and over, not, you know, the sob story that people give now. I mean, literally, we come from a different time. So social media has now grabbed onto everyone else's stories and now applied it to themselves, right? We actually went through this shit coming up when there was no social media. So whether it was teachers saying like, you're never going to be shit when you grow up, whether it's people around the neighborhood, even my ex-wife used to tell me I'm going to grow up and be a lonely loser. You know what I mean? So like, you know, you just get all these people that doubt you and doubt you and doubt you. And I'm not a fan of people using the term, I use hate as fuel, because I'm never going to give haters the credit for my success, right? It's their deficiencies or inability to see the greatness within me. What I'm going to do is give myself credit to see the greatness in myself and persevere despite them not seeing it, right? So like, you can sit there and be haters. I think Kanye said one day, you know, hate is go and marry another hater and then go have hater babies. And it's like, I'm never going to be a hater. I'm never going to influence my family or kids to be a hater or anybody that I work with to care, pay attention, or worry about hating. It's the same concept if I'm on a football field and my goal is to get a touchdown and run into the end zone, catch that ball and run into the end zone. Am I going to listen to somebody in the stands saying, oh, you fucking suck. Oh, you're not going to make it. Like, what am I going to throw the football down and go address that fucking guy who's not out here doing what the fuck I'm doing? Like, why would I even care what he has to say? You know what I mean? So my goal is to get to the end zone. If you keep your eyes on the prize and stay focused on what your goal was from the beginning, nothing can sway you or waver you from that goal, because if you're truly committed to that goal, that shit doesn't matter. It wasn't me addressing a hater. Wasn't part of my plan. It wasn't part of my goal. So why am I stopping the great plan and goal I built for myself to go address something that's not going to help me get to the end?
We can agree to agree on most of it. So let's have a conversation about it, because this is what I love. We both kind of grew up in the same era. We have similar childhoods. We've talked about that. We both are loving husbands, love our children. We both are hip hop guys that, you know, love the culture, and we're just different.
Yeah.
You are more caring and loving than I am. I wish I'd like, you inspired me earlier, and I don't say that a lot, but we were talking and you were like, look, like, you kind of seem angry with this new stuff, and you were just shooting me straight, and most people don't. And I'm like, you know what? You're right. And you're like, and what does your kid think? So you put it in perspective, and I tried to step back and listen to what you're saying, and you're absolutely right. And I think that what you were saying is on par. And I think that the path that we all get stuck in, and this is me owning some of my stuff, is you get stuck in that minutia of, instead of scoring that touchdown, you're right, let me stop and deal with this and get off. I'm off my plan now. I feel like the way I'm built, Clinton, is instead of doing that, what I've always been successful on is, they can say what they want, but I'm going to go score a touchdown. I just want them to get their popcorn. It just gives me more fuel. This is where you and I might disagree. To do it, I shouldn't address things. I shouldn't make, you know, I always think of this, and maybe I'm wrong, we can talk about this, but Machine Gun Kelly's really famous because Eminem brought him up, right? Would you agree with that?
It was part of the process of him getting to where he is.
Well, you know, like, he's talking trash about M, and if M never said anything.
I don't know. I mean, I don't want to get off topic. I want you to finish your thought, but I think MGK is...
I think he's talented.
I've known MGK before that, right? And I knew what his frustrations were. I knew who he could be. And, like, I even told him back then, before the Eminem thing, I'm like, yo, you're like the modern day Kid Rock. And, like, people just don't see it.
He's very talented. I just meant that, right, that M put him on the map when he retaliated, is my opinion. Okay.
Yeah, but I don't think he gained new fans because of that. I think the fans that already loved him sided with him and supported him. And the ones that didn't fucking jump on his bandwagon now, they still hated on him and sided with Eminem. Did it give him a moment of shine? Of course. But, like, I don't think that's the catalyst to his success at all.
You're right. And so back to my thought is, I was like, you know, if I waste time and energy, and the way you put it in perspective for me, for my kids to see, like, that you get stuck, you know, you lose a $1 billion business, things going on, you're kind of like, all right, what my mentality is, I don't like this cancel culture. I don't like this fake woke. I want us to all be loving and caring, but I'm really tired of these people that are just feeders bringing people down, right? And so I had this vision of addressing life and things that way. And I've always utilized, like, my mother-in-law saying, you'll never amount to nothing. You mentioned, you know, your ex-wife saying you're going to be a loser. I don't think that you stopped and changed your map, but I think internally it just maybe makes you put your foot on the acceleration a little faster. At least it does for me, right? Mm-hmm. I have a way of processing that in most cases as fuel to continue my path. And the best revenge is success. And the best, the other thing is, don't hate haters, love them. Because to me, if they're spending time watching me, they're not spending time better themselves. Hopefully they can learn something from me as I get to the next spot. What do you think of that?
So, we're definitely have different perspectives on this, because if you have a cup full of anger, resentment, hate, I'm going to take my bucket and pour my passion, love, commitment, dedication into your cup and fill it with all that, so all of your shit spills out. And then I'm going to overtake that cup with that. So I'm motivated and inspired only by my own passion, self-determination, commitment to my goals, and no one's hate could ever supersede any of those things. So that's where I look at it different. And it's just different perspectives, whatever's going to help you. But I will tell you, you're polluting yourself. So even though you're using a piece of that, like, to inspire you, you're also allowing a lot of pollution into the goodness of your body and your soul. and your vision for yourself, right? Because the same way you say they're looking at you hating, I'll let them, you're also acknowledging and absorbing that hate. So don't fool yourself thinking that, oh, I'm turning this into a positive and I'm just going to accelerate. You're really not. You're taking on more weight. Yeah, you might still keep running up that hill, but you just put on some fucking backpacks full of bricks. You know what I mean? Meanwhile, I'm fucking flying up there. I don't have that weight. You know what I mean? I have the accelerator buttons of love, passion, excitement. You know what I mean? It just keeps me focused on getting to the top of the hill. So, you know, whatever works for each, and I'm not judging or downing what people do, but like, I find you live a more righteous, lighter, happier life when you learn to genuinely, not consciously, genuinely not care. Like, people will say, like, I don't even care. But you and I both know 99% of people that say that are fucking full of shit, right? They care. They put on an act. How many people you see online talk about, man, I don't give a fuck with no one? Then you wouldn't even be talking about it right now if you didn't care. You bringing it up is showing you care. You know how I show I don't care? I keep being fucking dope at what I'm doing. I stay on track with my commitment is. And those people that I hated, when I'm at the top, I might look down the mountain and be like, oh shit, you guys are down there? And like, that's it. But like, I'm never like, yo, thanks for helping me get up here. Cause you didn't fucking sacrifice time with your family. You didn't invest in yourself. You didn't stay committed and be in the fucking gym every day throwing baskets. You just sat on the fucking sidelines and hated. So why in the world would I ever give you any kind of acknowledgement or celebrate you for my fucking success? I did this shit. I did it.
I love it. I love it.
Now, a quick word from our sponsors.
You know, I agree with you. In my book, I gave love and appreciation to all my mentors, to my close friends, to my family, to God, to my kids, to my dad, who's inspired me, different things, right? And, but then at the very end, I say, and you know, all the haters that said I couldn't, thank you. You just motivated me more. So,
you know what motivates me aside from the things I said is I will say the one thing I do learn. So as you take negativity or hate as fuel, I take incompetence, ignorance, and people that are not good at their job. I use that because what that does is it makes me better and stronger and smarter because I care enough to see how it affects other people. And I care enough to not want to be someone that affects people that way in a negative manner. So when I see a bad boss, when I see a bad employee, when I see a horrible father, when I see a bad man, I've already built myself to a point where I think I'm, you know, no one's perfect, but I think I built myself by design, not by circumstance, right? So I intentionally built the me that I wanted to become, and I like me, right? And I've done that by growing up and giving a shit about other people. What are their needs? What do they need to feel? What bothers them? What stops them from excelling or getting their dreams accomplished? So I really, and look, if anyone's paying attention right now, especially younger people, if you want to learn how to develop the great you, it's not just about listening to me or Jason or Gary Vee or Tony Robbins or anybody else tell you what they did, because everybody's path is unique. When you listen to people talk, don't copy it verbatim. What you need to do is understand their path, filter it, apply it to you, and take pieces. It's like the Bible, right? You just take the good parts that make sense to help you live a righteous life, be a good human being, treat other people well, be kind, don't lie, don't, right? You don't literally verbatim follow it word for word, right? At least I don't take it that way. And it's the same thing when you're reading books from other people. You need to understand what works for you. But the one thing I will say that works for everyone that I hardly hear people talking about, and this is literally how I live my life, is I pay attention. I did a speech in New York recently, and it was like, they asked me a question like, how do you think we should handle this with the youth? And I'm like, it's such a weird question to ask, because it's like saying, how do you think we fix racism, right? And it's like, well, first of all, you probably will never get rid of racism. So the fact that you're even trying, you're already kind of on a failing mission. Right? So you're going to constantly find yourself being frustrated and annoyed and complaining and angry because this giant thing that will never go away, you're trying to fight to make it go away. It will never fully go away, unfortunately, we all want it to, well, at least good people like you and I do. But like, what you need to do is look at what you can help and what you can control. For instance, I'll give you a perfect example. My grandmother, straight bigot, super racist when I was a kid. Like straight, like terminology now that like, at the time, I didn't even realize how bad it was. I knew it felt weird and probably wasn't kind. But as an adult, thinking back at what my grandmother used to say, I'm like, holy shit, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah,
in the time that I went from being born to being about 17, I turned my grandmother around fully. And how, and the reason why she didn't, why she was racist before was ignorance. And what I mean by ignorance is not like an asshole or an idiot that doesn't understand. They weren't experienced. They weren't taught by the right people around them the difference between what they were thinking and what the right thing is, right? So to my point is, so once I started bringing my Black friends around, then it slowly was like, oh, I like your, you know, colored friend, Kevin. I'm like, you know, Nana, it's not.
It's just Kevin.
My friend.
It's just Kevin.
My friend, Kevin. Yeah. He's my friend, Kevin.
Right.
And then like it went from getting her to stop saying a different word that was worse to that, to then stop even saying anything that was referencing them by their skin color. It was like, oh, I like your friend, Kevin and Jason and Dante and da da. And it was like, it got to a point where she became their grandmother. You know what I'm saying? Like, now the point of me saying that is, if you want to know how to build a great life for yourself, you want to know how to have better relationships, how to treat people well, then shut the fuck up and listen. Because that's what it comes down to. Just listen. People are talking. Like the kids are talking. Your kids are talking. Your wife is telling you what she needs. People are protesting. People are telling you all the time what they need. You're just not listening. So when I was coming up, I would literally pay attention, whether it was my mom or other women say, I hate when a guy does this. I wish I had a boyfriend like this. I don't want to have that. And I'm like, oh, okay, now I have the tools of how to be a good man because I cared to listen. Instead, most people fight it. Well, that's because they're like that because you're like this. Again, letting other people dictate or sway who you decide you want to be. Anybody that decides what kind of person they want to be should never allow any other person's actions or words to waver them from the person they decided they want to be. The minute you do, you reveal they're stronger than you are. And you're not even strong enough to stay the man who you decided and committed to be in the first place. So no woman could ever say or do anything to me that would make me punch them. I'm just not that guy, right? No person I'm in business with could do shady shit to me, steal from me, lie to me, do whatever it is that makes me now come out of pocket and be something that the world would say, wow, that's not normal for Clinton to do. You know why? Because Clinton already decided who the fuck Clinton's going to be. And I built it by design, not by circumstance. And most people, they complain about their lives or why they can't advance in life because they blame it on their circumstances. You and I both came from circumstances that we both shouldn't have the money we have the success we have. We didn't let them circumstances decide who we're going to be and how we're going to end up. We built ourselves by design. And that's the only way that you're ever going to build the life that you want to have is by design.
Amen. I wish I had like little dimes that can just drop on the show. I'm going to make sure that the producer does that for
you. You got
us.
A lot of dimes. I'll bring a bag. I'll take all your dimes, man.
All right. Well, listen, that's good stuff. And I always love listening to you talk because I get into it, right? I can relate to it. I can feel it. We have similar stories, similar beliefs. So it's important. And I'm not just saying that. I have other guests on where our worlds are completely different, but ours are pretty similar. So
well, you know what's important about what you just said? That's the key to getting people to listen. People typically get upset when people don't listen when they talk, but you have to learn how to talk when people are listening. Mm-hmm. One, then two, you have to make the people you're trying to talk to understand that you understand them, right? So even like as a parent, the reason why most kids don't listen, like, oh, dad, you're old, you don't understand it. Oh, dad, it's a different time, you don't get it. Oh, dad, you don't understand the way my friends are on social media, da, da, da. Whoever you're trying to convey a message to or teachings, you have to first understand them. Otherwise, your opinion is very limited to your experience and not theirs. Therefore, it's not fitting. Right. So the reason why I'm able to get through, especially like youth generation, even though I'm older, I'm in my 40s, but still an 18-year-old will listen to me, or even a Gary Vee, right? Is because first you got to set the tone that I understand you and here's examples on why I understand you, right? So my son will literally say, fuck, Dad, it's like you're in my head. It's like you think like how, that's why when I give him advice, he listens other than other kids that whose dad might be like, well, when I was younger, we didn't, or I don't think you should do this. And a kid's going to obviously combat that or resist it because he doesn't think that you understand. So even a boss, if you're a rich fucking CEO of a billion-dollar company and you're talking to a guy that's struggling paycheck to paycheck, who maybe has got a fucking meth head for a mom, who's got an alcoholic wife, maybe this, or maybe whatever his situation is, and you're trying to tell him how to be better, he's going to look at you like, man, fuck you and your money, man. You don't know what the fuck I'm going through, right? So you have to first understand, care enough to understand what people are feeling, thinking, and going through, where they came from, for you to even have a fucking inkling right. of a chance of getting through to them.
Agreed. You know, you talk about your kid thinking you're in his fucking head. My son, who's 12, says similar things to me, right? Yeah. I'm grooming him. We always want our kids to be better than us. So yeah. I'm grooming him to be a better man than I am. And I feel I'm a pretty good man. Like I wouldn't ever hit a woman. I love my children. I don't spank my children. I, you know, give back to life. I've got a short fuse. You know,
you're a guy who maybe wouldn't say this publicly, but I'll say it for you. You're a guy when a company's in trouble and you'll come out of your pocket.
Yes.
To make sure that your employees are still getting paid.
Correct.
That's the kind of guy.
So right, yeah, it's the right thing to do. You always want to do the right things for the right people because it's not their fault. They're working their ass off, and like you said, maybe they came from a meth home. Maybe they can't afford the diapers. Like you, all these people that put in work, that's why you want to do that stuff. So thank you for saying that. But I tell my son, you know, that there was a time he got upset at a football game. He's an awesome quarterback, Clint. I mean, so good, so smart, smartest kid on the field. Has a cannon arm. Can't run for shit. Got concrete feet, non-athletic. He definitely got my speed. He's not super fast. But he is the smartest kid on the field. And he was competing with the coach's son for the quarterback spot. And I had multiple parents coming up to me time and time and time and time again saying he needs to start. And I would have conversations with my wife and I guess my son would eavesdrop. And I'd be like, yeah, it's like daddy ball. Like, you know, we got recruited to this team. They needed a quarterback. Christian's taking quarterback lessons. He's doing this. He's doing that. He's lighting it up in practice. He's there every day. He doesn't throw a fit on the practice field. The coach's son throws fits, kicks his feet, takes his helmet off, whines and bitches on the field and embarrasses the coach. And half the practice is yelling at his own son. And I'm saying this to my wife. My son didn't bitch one time. One game came in, he barely played. Two games, played two plays, threw a touchdown. You know, just little spots here. He is playing right end and he is getting sacks. He's loving that, but he's a quarterback. And so like by game four, the coach's son fumbles five times and we lose. Five times he fumbles. And I'm up there talking to the league commissioner who recruited us on this team because my son's always played travel flag. And I said, dude, like, I can't do the daddy bullshit. Like, this is ridiculous. I have a rule. Like, I coached my girls in sports. And one of my girls started. She was really good. My other girl, she's a little younger, never started for me one time. Always came off the bench. My wife would give me, like, what? I said, she's not a top five player. I would tell my daughter, do you think you should start? No. Why? Because I'm not a top five player. And I said, well, let's work on getting you there. She never did. Right. But I was always right. trying to teach her life lessons of nothing's given to you. You got to earn it. So I don't like daddy ball, but my son should be the starting quarterback. And so I was like frustrated. I'm telling him like, this is ridiculous. And he's like, well, don't Brent mention anything to the coach now because he just got his ass kicked. I said, all right. So I marched down there. I see my son. My son's coming back. He doesn't have his helmet. I'm like, where's your helmet? He said, I just quit the team. I said, you did what? He said, I went up to the coach and I handed him my helmet. And I said, I'm not doing daddy ball anymore. I'm not going to play for you. I've been working my tail off and you haven't given me the time to play. And he started saying something. I just walked away. And I was like, Christian, you can't do that. So then I walk down there and I try to talk to the coach and I'm like, hey, look, like this daddy ball stuff, he starts coming at me, right? Short Italian guy from New York. And he's, you know, he's getting frustrated with me. We're going back and forth. And I'm like, hey, calm down. He's like, no, like, you know, he's just very, very ornery and angry. And then I start getting a little pissed and I'm like, look, this is ridiculous. Like your kid chose his ass on the field, da, 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 da. And he's like, well, you guys figure you're going to quit the team, you leave, whatever. So I leave with my son and I'm thinking about it and it's hitting me. My son's becoming me. It got so frustrated for me, heard what I said, and I don't quit on anything. Like, I fought this fight with my business until we couldn't fight anymore. I fight mm-hmm. everything. I never quit. Some people are, you know, fight or flight. I fight every day. Like, I'm mm-hmm. all in until I can't anymore. That's what I am. I'm loyal. Like, if we're on a team, I'm fighting till the death with you. That's just who I am.
Right.
But in this situation, he was quitting. And he was quitting because the cards were stacked against him. And I was bothered that he used my feelings and my conversation to my wife to quit the team.
Now, a quick word from our sponsors.
And so I said, dude, you're not quitting. He said, no, I am quitting. It's daddy ball. I said, yeah, but you haven't complained one time. Yeah, but I heard you talking to mom and I'm done with it. It's ridiculous. And I said, it was a humbling moment for me. I said, son, I don't need you to be me. I don't need you to complain. I don't need you to be upset. I don't need you to give the coach that satisfaction of you quitting the team.
Jason, when did this happen?
3 weeks ago.
Meanwhile, his father is on social media
dropping F-bombs and getting pissed at the world. I know. Listen, you brought it all full circle for me today, Clinton. Like, I mean that. Like, and we're going to share with the listeners, like, wow, like Clinton just put it in perspective where I go, oh my goodness. So there's always a reason why people talk and things happen. But so I'm having this conversation. I'm like, dude, you don't need to be me. You don't need to do this. You need to be better than this. Here's what I need you to do. I need you to, we're going to go back in. And sometimes, son, you got to kiss the babies or you got to eat shit. He's like, what does that mean? I said, well, we're going to go back in. We're going to apologize to the coach. And we're going to ask him, what is it going to take for you to get more snaps? And we're going to work mm-hmm. on that, even though. And I said, that's all we can do. He's like, Dad, I said, nope, because then it's going to be hard on him. You don't just walk away and let him have his way. You make it tough on him because you're doing everything you're supposed to do. You're putting in the work. And now he has to think about, should I play Christian or should I play my son? Rather than give him a free pass to play his son. Finish what you mm-hmm. started for your teammates. Finish what you started for this organization. Let's not quit. Let's go in and keep our head high and do the right thing and stay positive. He did that and he got more playing time because of it. And so not as much playing time, but he got more playing time. They ended up winning the championship. He ended up sacking the guy to win the game. He threw 2 touchdowns in the playoffs, 188-yard touchdown. But I felt like, you know what? There was a me that I didn't like that was leaking into my son.
Yep.
And in life, you can't stay the path because sometimes we take the wrong path. Sometimes we're starting to take the wrong steps. It's okay to pivot. And sometimes it takes humbling incidents to come in, you know, to hit you right in the face and say, hey, I've got to change what I'm doing here to be better. And so I've been coaching him on that. And I coach him on leadership. He's like the best leader on the team. Hey guys, good job guys. Patting him on the back. Like he's that guy. Yeah. So I'm so proud of the young man he's becoming. But there was a moment there where he was acting like me or acting like this war that I've been fighting for the 2,100 employees we've let go and the $1 billion company that we've lost. I've been in a war and I've been out of character. And I think that he also saw that and acted on that, right?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, and people don't give themselves enough credit for this too. You know, even yourself, like there's people, most people resist when you tell them something about themselves that could be negatively perceived, right?
Yeah.
You know, one of the things I respect about you is one, you recognize something about yourself that was negative leaking into your son. And then two, you know, before we started the show and I was talking to you, you know, you received it like one should receive information that can better themselves, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a true honorable, noble man isn't one that doesn't make mistakes. It's one that learns from their mistakes, acknowledges their mistakes, and yearns to improve and be better. So that's the mark of a noble man to me, and that's the mark of Jason Waller to me.
It's definitely the mark of Clinton Sparks, right? You've hit some bumps across the road.
There's no better powerful ending than that right there. I think we should literally just be like, love you, man.
Hey, all right. We can love you, man. I just want you to mention Xset real quick.
All right, cool.
All right.
So Xset is the world's fastest growing, most diverse and inclusive gaming lifestyle brand. It's called Xset, X-S-E-T. Everybody rep the set, get familiar. You know, everybody's a part of it from Ezekiel Elliott, Ozuna, Sway Lee, T Grizzly, Quality Control Music, Justin Simmons, Bia, Nigel Sylvester, Ganga, one of the world's greatest tattoo artists. So, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of people that watch or listen to your podcast. That's like, I don't understand the gaming world or what's he even talking about or what does that mean that they're a part of it? So basically what we're building is the world's greatest culture club with the common denominator of gaming. So gaming lifestyle means everything associated with those that game, which is music, sports, fashion, art, and gaming all combined. So we are the intersecting cultural company that brings the top gamers, athletes, actors, rappers, everybody to all kind of collectively be one organization that creates great content, creates great activations and events all through gaming. So that's what we are. A lot of most other esports orgs are, you know, professionally esports teams that hope to be in gaming tournaments and win prize pots, which at this juncture isn't really a revenue, big revenue driver for any companies. I've been shaping and shifting culture for almost 20 years now. My partners, Greg Selko, Will Edens, have done the same from music, you know, selling millions of records to over a billion in e-commerce sales and fashion. So what we've done is we intersected and brought all these worlds together and plugged them into the gaming industry, which is a multi-billion-dollar gaming industry with, you know, millions and millions of gamers around the world that are really siloed, really. You know, most people that don't understand look at gamers as nerds or as a waste of time. But gaming truly is a new way to get out of the hood, just like music and sports is. Mm-hmm. It's a new way to build careers. The same way you have your kid dribbling a basketball for 16 years, you give your kid a console and he becomes globally recognized and making more money than you in 6 months. So, you know, a lot of adults and parents don't recognize or understand this is a new career avenue for a lot of youth. And they still look at gaming back like when we were kids, like, oh, it's a waste of time. Go outside and play with your friends. And it's like, no, it's a big business and it makes more money than the music industry and movie industry combined.
Which is crazy.
So if you want your kid to be successful and he's got aspirations to get in the gaming industry, one, I suggest you allow him to exercise that. Two, there's a giant industry. And three, tell him to get familiar with Xset and rep the set, because we are and will be the most successful culturally significant brand in the history of the gaming industry.
And I love the little highlight video you sent me with X gonna give it to you. Like that video pumped me up. I was like, oh my gosh, like I'm jacked. Like this is exciting. And you know, some of the folks that you got joining the team, you mentioned that Ghana, the tattoo artist, right?
Ganga, yep.
Ganga. Yeah. So his team reached out and I was telling him, hey, like, you know, I'm you know, tight with Clinton, and his guy reached out, was like, dude, you want to get a tat? I just got a recent tat not too long ago when I was in Cali. I got Pooh Bear. I got Piglet.
From Ganga?
No, I was going to. Remember when I messaged you, it was too late to do that. But now they're wanting me to do something. They're like, we'll put you to sleep, tat your whole body. I'm like, I'm tempted. It's something I'm thinking about.
Yeah.
But if I do, I'm definitely going to get that X-set put somewhere too, though.
That'd be amazing. I'm gonna end up getting a whole sleeve. There'll be Xset and Ganga will do it. So
that'll be dope.
I just got by the way, something I would like to expose to your audience. I'm assuming you got a bunch of dudes that listen to your podcast.
Yeah.
So as a dude of all dudes, I recently did something that my whole life I never would have imagined I would ever do. In fact, when I was a host on E! News for several years, I frowned on it. And you used to be like, why would people even do this? I recently got high def liposculpting to my body.
What is that?
I went under the knife. So I don't know if you can see my incredible jawline.
Oh, wow.
I've never had a chin like that before. I've always had it was always right up to here. It's still swollen. So it's still in another 2 months, you'll really see a defined. I'm still wearing my compression garment because I got the whole inside. My whole abs, everything all shaped up because, you know, a lot of guys will frown on it. And even me too. I'd be like, man, I wouldn't go do that. I'll just work out or da da da. Like that's not a real man thing to do. But as I was offered the opportunity from my friend who's a doctor, I started thinking, why am I against it? Why? So I'm really in my own head when I think about stuff, right?
Yeah.
What would make me not do it? Why do I think it's corny? Why would I? And then I started thinking to myself, why would I not do it?
Right.
Like, why would I be at like the halfway point of my life, presumably, and not want to look my best for the rest of my life?
Right.
I don't have time to go to the gym 2 hours a day. I don't have time to eat like, you know, one scoop of rice a day for the rest of my life. Like, right. I don't have time, although I eat pretty healthy anyhow. 90% of my, I eat healthy. But like, if I can get If I can go do something like this that makes me feel better,
yeah.
that makes me feel lighter, that now I look better. Cause like, look, I got a smoke show of a wife too. It's my responsibility to stay looking good for my girl, just like it's hers to stay for me. Right. right. So it's like, yeah. you know, if I can do something that makes me still look appealing to my wife. Now, a lot of people might look at this as being superficial. I don't. I'll tell you, man, like I didn't do this for superficial reasons. I did it because it truly actually makes me feel good. Right. I know that when I dress, my clothes look better. I know that I can move faster. I'm huge in pickleball. I know I'm going to play pickleball better.
Hey, we should get a pickleball team together, by the way, since we're talking about that.
Well, I built a whole court here on my property. So you'll see it when you come here. But yeah, like, frig. I had a main point to say just then. I started becoming, I don't know if you feel this at all. I started becoming self-conscious of being in video and in pictures because of, I was getting like when men, by the way, when men start getting this here, the turkey neck, they call it, like, you can't diet that off. You can't work that off.
No.
There's no way to get rid of that outside of a surgery. So I'm in the camera a lot and I started seeing this and I hated it. And I started like not even wanting to post videos because I didn't like the way that it looked. I felt like I looked horrible. So again, someone could say, oh, that's superficial. Who cares what you look like? Da, da, da. But it's like, no, man, like
you got to love you some better. You, baby. You got to look good. Like I'm all for that.
You know, I wanted to just reveal that I did this to people, and you can see before and after pictures on my Instagram at Clinton Sparks, and I'll be posting a whole kind of like thing that the thing that
I may have to see your doctor. I did a little bit of the smart lipo, and it did a little.
No,
bit.
It's not like, and that's the thing. A lot of people like it's not the same. And by the way, one of the things that I was concerned about, I was like, "What about getting botched? What about this? Everything that anybody would think about." I asked him, and the one thing he said to me that made me super comfortable. He was like, Clinton, anybody can do lipo, a gynecologist, like a dentist. He's like, anybody can offer a lipo. And when you see people getting botched, you're seeing them getting it from those kind of people, not certified plastic surgeons like myself. People come to me to fix that. And then I did research on him, and he's like one of the most critically acclaimed.
You
got
to give me his, share his info. I'll definitely, maybe we come to town. I'll get the
He's in Boston. Done. He's in Boston. I flew to Boston to do it. So kind, so gentle, so informative. Him and his wife run the company. The whole staff it was the most beautiful experience I've ever had dealing with anything medical. They follow up with me. I'm going back in December and I'm beyond ecstatic where I am. Like if I took this garment off right now, you'd be like, what the, like my abs are like bang, bang, bang.
Did you have abs before then? Because I've got like a little dad fluff.
It went from a 4-pack to a 2-pack. And then like, it started getting like, I could show you pictures. Like, I don't know if people would be able to see this, but like, if you go to my Instagram at Clinton Sparks, I'll post before and after. Like, dude, it's like LASIK. Like people that got LASIK 10 years ago, they're like, it's the greatest thing they've ever done. I already know 10 years from now, this will be the greatest thing that I've ever done. Cause even my son was like, holy shit, dad, like you're actually starting to look 10 years younger. And I knew that when you gain weight, it makes you look 10 years older.
I know.
When you get rid of it, you instantly lose 10 years. So, you know, if you have the desire to feel better, look better, what do you got to fucking lose, man? If you're in your 40s or your 50s and like you're on the back half of your life and you can do something in one day,
one day,
to like change yourself to look completely better and look awesome and feel proud to take your shirt off in front of your wife or whatever, like, why would you not? You know what I mean?
I agree. That's really what was this called? What was this called?
It was called high def liposculpting. But don't be fooled, because a lot of people have asked me what I did, and like, oh, I found this lipo guy. Like, no, you don't just go to a lipo person. And like, this guy will also educate you on the difference between cool sculpting, lipo here, and the difference from what he does. And by the way, I met him 4 years ago, and he told me to do it. And I was like, yeah, maybe I'll try it. And then I canceled because I was nervous. And then COVID, I gained like 20 pounds. And I also aged a couple of years. Yeah. I'm like, I can't get rid of this, like doing diet. So when I went met with him for breakfast, he walked me through it. And like, if you trust me and you know me, and you know that I'm a guy that keeps people honest and I only keep it real, then you can trust that this is the motherfucker that you want to go see.
Yeah.
And he's cheaper than like coming out here to Hollywood or Beverly Hills.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll definitely have to check that out. And listen, Clinton, as always, I appreciate the honesty.
By the way, he's Dr. Montilla. Dr. Montilla, M-O-N-T-I-L-L-A, in Worcester, Massachusetts. If you ever reach out to them, tell them Clinton sent you, and I'm sure they're going to give you some kind of a discount. But they're great people.
Perfect. Thank you. Well, I'm going to take notes from this as well, because I've looked at that. I did the smart lipo, and I looked better, and I had to wear the garment, and then I gained it back, and I was like, ah, and it just bothered me. It was wasteful. And I'm like, and I've heard that the sculpting lipo is better. And so I have to do something, but I'm all about that too. You want to feel good. You want to look good. And why put yourself through all of that? And you're in the back end of your life. You want to keep the wife happy. You want to stay young and fresh with your kids. Like, you know, you just, it's important to stay and feel as good as possible. You gotta
I'm knocking on 50's door. I got a 1-year-old. I got to be able to run around.
That's right. Amen, dude. God bless you on that too. So, hey, I love you, brother. Thank you for your time. Let's catch up. I'm going to let you know about the birthday party. Thank you for coming on the show and sharing such wisdom and also helping me out, my man. I appreciate you, man.
Anytime. And thank you for everybody that listened. And by the way, if you want to get more daily game, follow me at Clinton Sparks on Instagram, and I'll be there, man. So thank you for all of you that watch a show like this, because to be honest, you wouldn't watch or listen to a show like this if you weren't trying to level up and improve yourself. So kudos to you.
Yes. Thank you very much. That's a wrap here. Bam.
Peace.